listening to London Today with Andy Uthman.
The numbers of doses of vaccines have more than tripled.
We are seeing a rise in the number of children with disabilities.
What if these shots that are supposed to protect kids actually hurt your child?
After the shots, I started getting sick.
I've had 2 strokes, partial paralysis, partial vision, and I'm having seizures.
I would have never dreamt that this was a side effect of a vaccine.
We have just gotten to the point where the negative feedback loop of the immune system is being overwhelmed, such that the rate of these chronic diseases caused by vaccines is accelerating and scaring the hell out of me.
Dr. Clausen is an immunologist who's basically been studying the risk problems associated with vaccines. So he started out studying the effects of vaccines in lab animals, and he started to see things like diabetes would be induced.
We're the only country other than New Zealand that allows advertising on TV for pharmaceutical drugs.
You can't sue the drug company that made the vaccine.
That's not science, that's politics.
Texas Governor Rick Perry has ordered that schoolgirls must get the Gardasil shot.
We can do this.
A dozen studies and thousands of words later, Canada's mainstream medical community considers vaccines a settled science, extremely safe, except for those rare one-in-a-million situations when they aren't. Those are the people suffering life-changing conditions, and they want compensation.
You could have 30, 40, 50 different vaccines mandated and absolutely no accountability. You have a prescription for disaster.
Pam Colleen is in with us this morning. Pam, right off the top, I got to tell you, on a regular basis, and I know you get the same thing, this is one of the most agonizing issues that parents right here in London are dealing with right now. And every time I talk to them, you can just see that look in their eye. Please, please tell me, do I vaccinate my kids, yes or no? And your timing is incredible because, folks, Pam Colleen and I coordinate all of this together. But I invite Pam to set the agenda for each of our topics on Thursday, and this week she wanted to do vaccines. So what happened earlier this week on CTV? You may have heard the clip, folks, off the top of Lisa LaFlamme introducing the topic of vaccines, and that's where I want to start this morning with this report on CTV suggesting, and we did a brief segment on it earlier this week, that vaccines are safe, that the science has been settled. Did you hear that phrase? The science has been settled. The science has been anything but settled on the issue of vaccines.
Hasn't been settled,
and, and we're going to prove that in just a moment with a researcher who has dedicated his life to this particular topic, Dr. Bart Klassen. But first, let's set this all up with the report earlier this week on CTV, the national news, with Lisa LaFlamme on the issue of vaccines and whether they are safe, and whether the horror stories are, in fact, just one in a million.
Like millions of Canadians, Ron Nielsen lined up for his annual flu shot just before Christmas. But within days, he became ill with a disorder called Guillain-Barré syndrome.
I couldn't even sit up. I was like a two-month-old baby, you know, just had no strength at all. It was very scary.
Unable to work as a carpenter, he struggled to make ends meet, and was surprised to learn that Guillain-Barré is a rare side effect of the flu vaccine.
I was told to get it, I got the shot, and this is what happened. That is so unfair.
Bob Martin is a personal trainer who also ended up in intensive care after his flu shot 3 years ago.
And the next thing, I was in a wheelchair, I couldn't walk, I was then into a bed, and as you're laying there, over those 6 or 7 days, your mind is in fear.
Studies confirm one in a million will suffer Guillain-Barré from a flu shot. It's very rare, but potentially devastating. And that's why Bob has started this online petition. Vaccines prevent a lot of illness, but he says Ottawa should start helping the few who are harmed.
What we need in Canada is a no-fault compensation program to compensate people, who or whomever they are, that are injured from any and all vaccines.
In fact, Quebec has a program that compensates those who have been harmed by vaccines. So does the U.S. and 18 other countries. This doctor says Canada needs to do the same.
The vaccines are proven to be safe, but some individuals unfortunately react poorly to them and can have these reactions. So it's unfortunate that it does happen. It happens very rarely, but if it does happen, these people are affected.
And with some provinces now moving to mandatory flu shots for healthcare workers, this issue becomes all the more critical, say two men who are still struggling to return to health.
To underline, vaccines are one of the most effective tools we have to fight disease. And of the millions of people vaccinated for the flu each year in Canada, fewer than 10 may sustain an injury. But that's why countries have compensation programs, Lisa, and that's why people continue to ask why Canada doesn't.
I mean, it seems like such a taboo subject, Avis. Shouldn't people know this?
Well, it's informed consent, and science is learning that the way our bodies react to different vaccines is a genetic predetermination. We've seen it recently with narcolepsy triggered by H1N1 and the vaccine in some people. So it's rare, but it does happen.
Mm-hmm. It's rare, but as you say, people know this exists, so what's the solution here? How do you fix it?
Well, the solution is that as we go on, we're going to have to tailor vaccines to your DNA. And there's work that's being done in Europe and Canada and the United States. We're not there yet. But in the meantime, we need people to be vaccinated. It keeps people healthy. And so why don't we have compensation programs?
Need to talk about that. Avis, thank you so much for this tonight. Interesting. If you want to find out more about the petition and vaccines in general, you can go to our website where you can also comment on this contentious subject. That is at ctvnews.ca.
Okay, so there's the report that was on CTV News earlier this week featuring our own Avis Favreau from right here in London. And I keep coming back to that phrase, one in a million vaccines are entirely safe. Pam Colleen, that is simply not true.
The ingredients in these vaccines are very toxic in many cases. I mean, they're injecting things like mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, MSG. There's all sorts of questionable ingredients in these vaccines. And I just, it just boggles my mind to think that somebody could equate those ingredients to good health.
I'm just so delighted that we're going to provide some answers this morning on this very painful issue. There are so many parents who are wrestling with this. It's like they're caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. Introduce our guest, Dr. Bart Klassen, if you would.
We have an immunologist on the phone this morning, and he used to work at the National Institutes of Health in the Laboratory of Immunology. And he is a medical doctor who graduated from the University of Maryland and also got an MBA from Columbia University. And we're thrilled to have him on the phone this morning to talk about the safety issues in and around vaccines. Good morning, Dr. Klassen. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on.
Doctor, I'm going to do something bold. I'm going to go right to the phones because the phones are already starting to light up just to make this point. Before we get into all the science, I just want to focus on the fact that this is an issue which parents are wrestling with. It's a terribly difficult decision. Do you vaccinate your children, yes or no? Because if you don't, you are subjecting yourself to incredible pressure, not only just from doctors and nurses, but from the community who think you have horns, that you must be possessed by the devil himself. Diane, I appreciate your call. Let's start the conversation.
Hi, Andy. Yes, it's me. How are you today, my friend? Long time no speak.
I'm good. Diane, your thoughts on vaccines?
Oh, boy. Okay, I've done research on vaccines. They put everything in from people that have died, their blood and that into our vaccines. I researched them. I lost a doctor over it because I opened my mouth. And actually, I took a flu shot. I wouldn't take any more shots if you paid me $1 million. I took a severe stroke. And I came around shortly after that, but I have not felt the same since. And I tell all the parents and everything out there, don't give your kids vaccines. I've seen kids on the bus that I talked to and parents that their kids have got autism because they've taken a vaccine thinking, oh, this is good. Or if I don't give my kid this, my kid's going to be expelled from school or threatened from the London Health Sciences Center. I've seen that too in person, but I'm a survivor of a flu shot, and I know what's in all those filthy, dirty government operations that are just trying to get rid of us. I'm sorry to say it, Andy, but I want parents to understand and people that have taken it. Do not listen to your doctor. Do not listen to anybody saying vaccines are safe because they're not safe. I'm a survivor. I know.
Diane, right now, some people are listening to this. They think you're a wacko. What happened after you had the flu shot?
Well, let's put it this way. 3 hours after having my flu shot, I came down with a severe high fever. I fell on the floor. I couldn't move. And I was completely paralyzed on one side.
Mm.
When I was rushed to the hospital here in London, they told me my body had enough formaldehyde in to kill a person. Now, tell me if I'm wacko now because of what I just told you, and it's the God's honest truth.
Okay, Diana, I appreciate the call. Dr. Bart Klassen, that's the kind of emotion and passion that is wrapped around this whole issue of vaccination. I'm sure that you run into it all the time.
Sure. Well, you know, a little background about myself, I think we should start out. I was trained, as you all said, in the Laboratory of Immunology in the National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Diseases. And the government trained me to figure out what was causing all the autoimmune and inflammatory diseases. And I left NIH in 1991 and started immunizing mice and realizing that even very low doses, equivalent for the human, when given to the mice, caused the mice to develop type 1 diabetes. From then, I've done other studies and shown that it's causing type 2 diabetes as well, plus a plethora of other conditions, everything from food allergies to autism to asthma, you name it. All these diseases are epidemic. I predicted that over 20 years ago, and if you read my publications from 1993, I said that if you gave increased the number of vaccines dramatically, you would see this epidemic of all these different inflammatory conditions. Unfortunately, my predictions came true, and it's only getting worse year after year, and it's accelerating, and this is what's really scaring the hell out of me is, as you had a quote from me, I think, earlier. We're getting to the point where the negative feedback loop of the immune system has been overwhelmed. And as we add more vaccines, we are seeing an acceleration in the rate of these diseases.
Well, doctor, to use your language, you're scaring the hell out of us because we're embroiled in this controversy right now, right up to our eyeballs. Pam, if you would just describe for Dr. Klassen, for example, nurses in our hospitals. And my niece, mm-hmm. who I'm going to be seeing at a family picnic in a couple of weeks, works in Northern Ontario, and she was given a very simple choice. You have the flu vaccine or you wear the mask. Mm-hmm. And now it's worse than that for some nurses. They are simply given a choice. Have the vaccine or you're fired.
Right. Well, down in New Jersey, there's a nurse, June Valente, who was fired because she didn't get her vaccine, and it went to court, and actually she won. So there's a major victory there for the resistance within the medical system itself, that the nurses who don't want to get vaccinated, I think her case could set precedence elsewhere here in North America.
Dr. Klassen, let's start, because I believe in getting people's attention, and I'll tell you, one thing that gets people's attention is when you link vaccines to nasty medical issues. What does your research show, and we'll get into it in just a moment, are some of the medical issues directly related to vaccines?
Okay, so let me show this. Let me digress for once, just for 30 seconds. I'll digress. When I left NIH, National Institutes of Health, in 91, the standard of practice was you'd immunize a group of individuals in a clinical trial, like children, a group of children, and you'd follow them for 5 days. If after 5 days they seemed to be healthy, the vaccine was approved by the FDA and no further studies were done. They looked for adverse events that occurred within 5 days in a controlled manner. Now the standard is between 6 to 12 months. A lot of these vaccines now are getting approved by the FDA based on a randomized controlled trial lasting about 6 months. Okay, my studies have shown, we've done a large prospective clinical trial from Finland, where there's an increased risk, a causal relationship between vaccines and type 1 diabetes that occurs between 3 to 4 years after vaccination. The studies that are used to approve vaccines and immunize everyone and justify immunizing everyone are based solely on studies that are about 6 to 12 months of length. Some of them, like the hepatitis B vaccine, they've never gone back and done further studies, so it's based on 5 days of controlled studies. The people that are promoting these vaccines are fanatics. They're crazy. They either don't know the science, they don't want to understand the science, but the science is 5 days of controlled studies. You can, an intelligent person can't make a decision on whether it's good or healthy to receive a vaccine based on only 5 days or 6 months of controlled clinical trial. That's insane.
Yeah, I think a lot of listeners right now are in shock. I don't think that they realize how flimsy the science is behind vaccines. What would be an adequate study to prove the safety of vaccines? Has anybody ever done it?
No. I mean, I pioneered the field when I followed up on a large clinical trial from Finland, which is published and peer-reviewed. And what we did was we followed, it was close to like 100,000 people. I don't have the paper in front of me. But they were followed for about 7 years. And what we found was that there was a 26% increase in the rate of diabetes compared to the control group. And that was about one in every 2,000 children would develop diabetes from that one vaccine. Now, what it showed was that the vaccine was causing about 76 cases of diabetes per 100,000 when it was being approved and being promoted, because it prevented, theoretically, about 25 cases of neurological complications. That means mental retardation or something like that from natural Haemophilus infections. So in other words, when we looked at one adverse event, the Haemophilus vaccine and diabetes, we were injuring three times as many people than we were helping.
Doctor, when you do a talk show long enough, you have something called extrasensory perception, and I can already see that there are people who are turning the knob because they don't want to hear the truth. What's the old line? You can handle the truth. Let me give you an email which illustrates what I'm saying. Andy, Pam Colleen is a first-class quack, along with that nutcase you have on from the U.S. When children start dying from polio, measles, chicken pox, where will Pam Colleen be then? Shame on CJBK for fear-mongering. Signed, Nancy McEwen. Let's go right to the phones and see if that's the only person out there feeling that way. Mike, go ahead. What's your story?
Hi. How you doing today?
Good. Go for it.
I have a pretty interesting story, kind of similar to some of the ones you guys have been sharing. My daughter goes to a daycare here in London, and we've chosen through educating ourselves, obviously, that a lot of what you guys are saying today is, in fact, true. So we chose not to vaccinate our daughter. We had to get a special doctor's note and signed by an order of the public to do so. But there was an outbreak at the center in my daughter's classroom. And out of the 15 kids, 8 of the kids ended up getting chickenpox. And what we found out was that all 8 of the kids that ended up getting the chickenpox were vaccinated for it. And 2 of the kids in the classroom, my daughter being one of them, didn't get it. So it's really funny when you read the statistics about the efficacy rate of the vaccines, that out of a very small group of kids of that size, that many would end up still getting the virus when they were already supposedly vaccinated against it.
Mike, did Pam Colleen put you up to this call?
No.
It's a
daily argument I have, you know, with friends or people on Facebook. You know, they say exactly what your last email just said.
But, Mike, some people just can't handle the truth. And we open up the phone lines. Yeah, you're going to get the kind of email we got from Nancy. But what are you saying, Mike, about vaccines?
Well, it's not something you can just read on one website and take just one person's opinion on it. You can't just, you know, rely on your doctor to have as much time to spend on researching this one topic as you could as a concerned parent. So my always advice is you have to get multiple people's opinions in multiple different professions to formalize a proper opinion. And if you're just going to take what one person tells you to do and you know, put your kid's life at risk and bypassing all of your body's natural, you know, defense mechanisms to fight off diseases and go straight into your blood vein and bypass your immune system, well, by all means, go ahead and do so. But make sure you educate yourself on what the risks are.
But what if you're like our city councilors on the issue of fluoride? What if you just trust the health unit backed up by Health Canada.
We have another one with the whooping cough. There was another outbreak of that. And so I called the Middlesex Health Unit, and I wanted to find out how many kids were infected, and of those kids, how many were vaccinated, because we were getting a lot of flack. A friend of ours who didn't vaccinate either, his kid ended up getting it, and the health nurses were saying, oh, see, you didn't vaccinate, it's all your fault, your kid has whooping cough now. And what we ended up finding out after calling in was that I forget how many cases of kids had whooping cough, but more than 80% of them were already vaccinated for it.
Wow, so, Mike, a great story. I'm just going to bounce that over to Dr. Klassen. Dr. Klassen, what's your reaction to that story?
Well, the issue is that we found that when people stopped vaccinating with the whooping cough pertussis vaccine in the UK, there was a big scare in the 1960s. Diabetes actually went down, okay? So they don't tell you that. Oh, yeah, whooping cough went up, but diabetes went down, okay? And diabetes can be a much more serious condition over the long time. And so, yeah, whooping cough is often a benign disease. It can be treated with antibiotics. So, you know, really, it's not a scientific statement to say, well, whooping cough goes up. So what? I mean, how many people are dying of a whooping cough, okay? Because I can tell you people are dying right and left of diabetes. And the data on diabetes is alarming. This is what's scaring the hell out of me, is the rate of prediabetes in the United States in kids 12 to 19 went from 9% to 23% in just 8 years, okay? It almost tripled in 8 years. That's from the vaccines, okay? These kids, then they added 80 vaccines. So God knows what the rate of prediabetes is now. It was 23% in like 2008. 6 years later, we're 2014. It could be 40 or 50%. And traditionally, 50% of kids would, or 50% of people who were prediabetic would develop diabetes. But it may be higher in this group that has diabetes from the, or prediabetes from the hyperstimulation of the immune system. So we may have a situation where 50% of the children will develop diabetes from the vaccines and then die from the vaccine complications.
Okay, Pam, let me just ask you to just what Dr. Klassen has said in the last 2 minutes is an apocalypse. This is jaw-droppingly shocking. Mm-hmm. What is happening right now in terms of our rates of diabetes. And Dr. Klassen, you are linking this directly to vaccines?
Absolutely.
Wow. Let's go back to the phones. John, thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm calling today, but this is something I just can't get my head wrapped around one way or the other. I'd like to get the opinions from the doctor and Pam. The way I'm looking at it, and I think the majority of people look at it, some of these old diseases that we don't hear of anymore except in third world countries, not like they did prior to vaccines, like polio, diphtheria, measles, tetanus, hepatitis, they're not here anymore. Very rarely are they here. We hear of them coming from third world countries. We hear people bringing them in that are immigrating from third world countries that have not had these vaccines en masse in these countries. Tuberculosis, we've got a place called the old sanatorium up on Sanatorium Road that used to be housed people, hundreds and hundreds of people. And that was just one place in the province for people that had TB. It basically wiped out now.
John, I think...
Diabetes, which the doctor is bringing up, I've been led to believe, and I fully do believe it, that diabetes, especially in that age group, is eating habits of kids now. The American way of eating all these fast foods, fat foods, is the major cause of diabetes. So I'm trying to draw the line here. We're living longer, and I know there's all sorts of other reasons, eating habits, diet that some people, and exercise, but our average lifespan... from not dying of all these diseases that we're getting inoculated from, we're living longer because we're not getting those diseases.
John, very well put, and that is an excellent question.
Infectious diseases were very, very rampant through the 1800s. And then when we started washing our hands, we got flush toilets, central heating, refrigeration. I mean, all of these efforts actually reduced the existence of infectious diseases. Now, I think it's 6.7% of the population will die from infectious diseases. Back in the 1800s, it was much, much higher percentage than that.
Okay. And Dr. Klassen, could you respond to John's question as well?
Yeah, I will. I mean, unfortunately, this is a problem of misinformation. Typically, what happens when medicine doesn't understand something, they blame the patient. This goes back to psychology or psychiatry, where Sigmund Freud was blaming all the mothers for their children being autistic. And every time a child had a mental health problem or neurological problem, it was their mother. And all the psychiatrists went and supported Sigmund Freud that it was all the mother's problem. It's all bunk.
Okay, let me ask you this. This happened to me just recently.
The epidemic is not due to food. There's a lot of evidence here that the obesity epidemic occurred starts in age 6 months of age. That's not from eating junk food. Second of all, the same epidemic is occurring in grass-fed horses. The horses aren't playing video games. They're not eating at McDonald's, but they are receiving the vaccine and developing the same obesity and metabolic syndrome the humans are. Thirdly, we've published extensively on this subject, and those that are obese and those populations that are obese are protected from developing type 1 diabetes and autoimmune diseases. Eating junk food and watching TV will not prevent an autoimmune disease. The reason the obese population are at low risk for developing autoimmune diseases is because they're high cortisol producers. When you give a vaccine, one of two things happen. You can have a low cortisol response, and then you develop autoimmune disease. Or your body detects the inflammation from the vaccine and starts pumping out cortisol, the result of which is you become obese, you have a Cushingoid-like syndrome, you have altered lipids, you become hypertensive, you become insulin resistant. It's the fact of the negative feedback loop of the immune system.
Doctor?
Okay, let me ask you this. This just happened to me about a month and a half ago. I'm building a fence in my backyard. I stepped on a nail. It went right through my shoe, a boot actually, and went to the hospital. They had said I had not had a tetanus shot in 15 years and that I needed to get a tetanus shot for stepping on this rusty nail. Should I have not taken that tetanus shot?
You know, I'm not here to give individual advice. I will tell you this.
Hang on, John. Let him respond.
The risk of getting tetanus is actually relatively rare, okay? When you look at the data from the CDC, Center for Disease Control in the United States, the most cases of tetanus that ever occurred in any 1 year was 1,500 cases. That was pre-vaccine in a population of about 100 million people, okay? The fact is that nowadays people have gotten multiple vaccines and they have immunological memory. So the risk of getting tetanus from a rusty nail are much rarer than the 1,500 per 100 million.
Should he have taken the shot, yes or no?
I don't have enough information to say that. Okay.
So I want to gamble on the side that I should take it because I hear if you get tetanus, that's a heck of a way to go. It's not a fun way to go.
A real quick response, doctor?
Again, I am not here to give individual advice, and that would, not be appropriate as a doctor to give individual advice on medical advice on a talk.
As the caller said earlier, people need to do their own due diligence and decide for themselves. We're not here to tell people not to get vaccinated. That's a personal choice. We also want to be able to address people why they want to get vaccinated.
We have to take a short break, but doctor, when I come back, I want to ask you, what is your advice generally on taking vaccines? Are you against vaccines, period? We want to get a straight answer on that. When we come back in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Only country other than New Zealand that allows advertising on TV for pharmaceutical drugs.
You can't sue the drug company that made the vaccine.
That's not science. That's politics.
Texas Governor Rick Perry has ordered that schoolgirls must get the Gardasil shot.
We can do this.
A dozen studies and thousands of words later, Canada's mainstream medical community considers vaccines a settled science. Extremely safe. Except for those rare one-in-a-million situations when they aren't.
You could have 30, 40, 50 different vaccines mandated and absolutely no accountability. You have a prescription for disaster.
Pam, just before I take TC's call, tell me about those clips that we just heard are from a documentary.
The Greater Good, and it's a fabulous documentary. I think that Highland actually showed it not too long ago, a year or so ago. But it's a really fantastic expose of the other side of vaccines that people are just not privy to this information. They're not getting this information from mainstream media or from their doctors. It's just sort of like, you know, taken for granted that vaccines are safe and effective. Vaccines are safe and effective. And people just do not question that there may be another side to the story.
Let's go to TC. Quick comment, TC.
Yeah, Andy, thanks for taking the call. So I've got a question. They've dodged the real answers here in question. My question would be to these wonderful medical professionals, if it was their loved one and their loved one did not get the shot, and they ended up developing one of these terrible diseases or tetanus or whatever, would they be kicking themselves when their child died if they hadn't gotten the shot and second-guessing, gee, should we have gotten that shot? I'm just kind of curious whether they would be.
TC, let me throw in my own 2 cents worth. Why do you think my niece in Northern Ontario, who's a nurse, hasn't taken the flu shot? Why are hospitals like the ones here in London having to threaten their staff in order to get them to take the very vaccines which they're giving to you and me? But Pam, your response.
Well, the reality is that people are going to die from infectious diseases. It's very rare today in the first place that people die from infectious diseases. But when and if people typically die from infectious diseases, it's usually because they have some other condition associated with that. So they're already having a weakened immune system and they become vulnerable to infectious diseases. So, you know, if we stop vaccinating, I just can't see people just falling dead in the street out there, Andy. I just don't see it happening.
Dr. Klassen, same question.
Yeah, so I totally agree. The statistics are that the physicians are immunizing their children less than the general public. That's very scary. There are also statistics that show that the lowest immunization rates are in California. The lowest immunization rates are in the most expensive private schools. Those who are running major corporations understand how the system works, the fraud in the system, and they're not immunizing their children. So it's not the people who have the lowest IQs and believe in which, you know, the boogeyman that aren't immunizing. It's the people who have the multiple degrees, who are making $1 million a year, sending their kids to a $40,000 a year school. They're the ones that aren't immunizing. Now, and I think that you have to realize there's a lot of fraud in the way a capitalist society works. So you hear these statistics on medicine, and then you have to look out and said, well, this vaccine only has 5 days of safety studies. How the hell can you make any decision based on 5 days of controlled safety studies?
Now, you talk.
This is why the people that are the most educated and the most learned are not immunizing their kids.
Dr. Klassen, Pam has a question.
Oh, it's just along that line about false data. You have examples of where there has been false data used to determine the safety efficacy of vaccines. Maybe you can talk about some of these examples.
You're putting me on the spot here because I wasn't prepared to talk about that.
Oh, it's okay.
Let me share a story with you, Dr. Klassen. When we did, and you heard the piece off the top from CTV, about vaccines are safe and only one in a million, and the whole issue was not about vaccines. It was about whether we should compensate the people who have serious side effects from vaccine, those rare one in a million people. While we were doing that segment on the air on Tuesday morning, Pam and I were just talking about this during the break, a warning came through from the FDA to this particular facility in Quebec.
Oh, yes. GlaxoSmithKline. Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't catch it at first because it was GSK. GSK, rather. It was GlaxoSmithKline. They didn't say GlaxoSmithKline. They just called it GSK. That their product, in fact, was contaminated.
That's right. Yeah, that's been making national headline news here in Canada as of this week. So the actual vaccine itself, the formulation of it, the production of it, has flaws as well. I'm not sure if you follow any of those types of stories, Dr. Klassen.
Well, I mean, periodically they show up. I would like to answer the question you asked right before you took break. I'm totally opposed to mass immunization. I think mass immunization at the level that we're seeing in the United States with the number of vaccines is contributing to maybe 50% of these children being injured or more. And so this is why this whole idea
of a compensation act for people is all based on fraud because there's not enough money. We have a system in the United States. It doesn't work because there's no money. If they started giving every diabetic $1 million or $2 million, which is the cost of diabetes, the compensation would be, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars a year, but they only raise $200 million a year. I mean, there's got to be fraud in the system because there's not the money there. You can't raise $100 to $200 million a year in taxes to compensate people when the damages is in the neighborhood of hundreds of billions of dollars a year.
But I thought the plan would be to have the drug companies compensate these victims.
Well, in the United States, there's a surtax. It's added to the vaccine. The surtax then goes to the Compensation Act. And our Compensation Act is so corrupt. It's unbelievable. If you have 30 seconds, I'll tell you a story about me.
Go ahead.
I did a case, somebody who claimed their child was injured by a vaccine. I went and did it pro bono, no charge. The attorney representing the family saw that I wasn't expecting anything, made a bogus invoice from me for like $30,000 or something like that. The judges reviewed it, their special masters reviewed it and said, this is outrageous, we want to talk to Klassen. The attorney then said, oh, he refuses to talk to you. Then they said, well, then we're only going to give you 50% of this invoice. The attorney then pocketed the money. He embezzled the money from the fund. When I found out about it, I notified the board of law, which had notified the court. They continue to do business with the lawyer, and they continue to badmouth me as being greedy and irrational billing on a case that I did for nothing.
Yeah, people who speak out against vaccines, they get treated very badly. In fact, there's been news recently of somebody who's been getting death threats because they've been speaking out against vaccines.
Wow, real quick question. Yeah. Chris, go ahead.
I just wonder if Dr. Klassen's familiar with Dr. Rob Rakowski's work. And specifically, I was at a symposium and he showed a video of growing brain neurons when a minute drop of mercury was placed in a dish, how they actually shrivel and shrink and no longer will grow and reproduce. So that's directly related to it was a whole huge vaccine symposium, and that's one of his specialties. He has a clinic down in the United States.
Terrific, Chris. We have to let you go. Doctor, go ahead.
Well, the issue is that you could remove all the mercury and all the aluminum from the vaccines, and they'd still be highly toxic because of immune overload. When you activate these macrophages, the white blood cells, and even things like carbohydrates that are in the cell wall of, like, pneumococcus, they will chronically activate the macrophages, the white blood cells, and then this white blood cells release interference and cytokines that destroy your body, or the same cytokines cause your body to produce cortisol, which causes you to grow, you become fat, have insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, altered lipids. So,
okay, doctor, I have to jump in because we have to take a break, and I really want in the last segment, and we have just a short time left, for you to say again that bombshell that you dropped earlier about the diabetes numbers and how we are facing a tsunami just on this one particular issue, children facing diabetes. We'll be back with that in just a moment right here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
The numbers of doses of vaccines have more than tripled.
We are seeing a rise in the number of children with disabilities.
What if these shots that are supposed to protect kids actually hurt your child?
After the shots, I started getting sick. I've had 2 strokes, partial paralysis, partial vision, and I'm having seizures.
I would have never dreamt that this was a side effect of a vaccine.
Here's an email from Christina, Dr. Klassen. She asks, hi, Andy. I was just wondering if there's any way the public could get access to the research studies that Dr. Klassen is getting his information from. Dr. Klassen, your response.
That's pluralvaccines.net. On that, I have many of my peer-reviewed papers. A few of them, they can email me, and I can get them, some of them that aren't on my website.
So the website, again, is www.vaccines.net.
N-E-T. It's vaccines plural.
Vaccines.net. Perfect. And you have multiple studies listed in your website.
Right. They're PDFs. the many, many studies. I have others that we can get to you, get to people as well.
Well, as we wrap this up, as I often ask our guests to do, I want to give our listeners who are wrestling with this issue like you wouldn't believe, can you just nicely put it in a little box with a little bow on it so they have a takeaway and they know where to get started on this search for the truth?
Okay. Well, again, you can look at my website if you're searching for the truth, but the statistics are alarming. The rate of prediabetes in children went from 9 to 23%. That's children 12 to 19 from the years 1999 to 2007. That's the most recent data. It almost tripled. That's at a time when obesity was completely flat. So the rates of obesity in the United States are not increasing, but the rate of prediabetes tripled. This is because we've overwhelmed the negative feedback loop of the immune system, which is cortisol production. And because we've stopped, we've maxed out on cortisol, the obesity epidemic is ending. There is no increase in obesity. But the rates of these inflammatory conditions like diabetes are rising at an alarming rate. You have a very high chance that if you immunize your children and you follow the schedules, that you will permanently damage the health of your children.
Dr. Klassen, okay. We are out of time. 30 seconds. Can you wrap it up?
Okay. So what we're saying is that the recommendations for vaccines aren't based on science because most of the vaccines are only been followed for from 5 days to 6 months in controlled studies. There's not enough evidence to tell you that your children will be more healthy from receiving the vaccine.
Dr. Klassen, I can't thank you enough for spending the hour with us and stimulating a lively discussion on this very important topic. Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you, Dr.
Now,
Klassen.
Pam, I have one final question for you. An email from a listener. Did you guys just hear the immunologist, Dr. Guy, state plainly that the mercury, formaldehyde additives, et cetera, and vaccines are absolutely not the problem? Even if you removed all the mercury, formaldehyde, and additives from the vaccines, you'd still, as he put it, might be worth Pam weighing in on whether her hand-picked expert just changed her mind on those.
Well, that's not what Dr. Klassen said, so she misheard what he said. He's not saying that mercury and aluminum are not toxic. I'll put this up on my website. You'll have to re-listen to what he said because she misheard him. So mercury and aluminum are indeed toxic. What he said was that there are other toxic agents in the vaccine itself as well. That's what he was saying.
Okay, terrific. As we always try to do at the end of the show is steer people to where they can get more information about this guest, Pam.
His website, again, is www.vaccines.net. And almost always I post our interviews on my website, on my multimedia pages as well, my website is pamcolini.com.
And I come back to the parents wrestling with vaccines. What's your advice?
It's a free market. People can vaccinate if they want to, but I think people need to hear both sides of the story. And like that caller said earlier, you have to do your own due diligence. You have to read one person and then another person and then another person. So just keep doing your own due diligence.
Yeah, there's a lot of passion, a lot of hurt, a lot of confusion, and a lot of fear on this issue. And that's why we've spent the hour discussing it. 11 o'clock news. When we come back on the other side, we're...